Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. We are over halfway through Lent, and it weighs heavily upon us. Our worship services have been subdued as words and songs of praise have been omitted. Our paraments are darkened, and we don't have any flowers at the altar. The law hangs thick in the air as we talk so much of sin. But is all of this really necessary? Or is it just to hype up the doom and gloom for effect? While we are indeed free in Christian liberty to disregard the traditions of Lent, they serve a far greater purpose than to simply rouse up in us feelings of guilt or dismay. They are meant to richly depict important theological truths that are absolutely fundamental to our faith as we prepare ourselves for the three-day feast of our Lord's betrayal, arrest, crucifixion, burial, and finally, resurrection. In our sin, it's easy to forget how desperately we need Jesus. We appreciate that he went to suffer and die on the cross, but deceive ourselves into thinking that he didn't need to for us. After all, we aren't that bad. We haven't done anything that deserves death, and the good things that we have done most definitely outweigh the bad. We haven't done anything that caused Christ to go to the cross. So we don't need to be constantly reminded of our sin or hear God's law, because it is just depressing and negative and completely unnecessary. Right? Wrong. Our sinful condition puts us in a desperate place, in a perilous state. We aren't sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. That's what these practices and customs of Lent help us to understand. Because the truth is, without Jesus, we would be utterly lost. These Lenten traditions tell the story of our sin and God's deliverance, and they help us to understand our place in it all. In fact, this is the way God himself often worked with his people. He presents to them his theology in a story form, an event that displays his wonderful truth in concrete ways. As we turn to our Old Testament reading, we find Israel still wandering in the wilderness. God had delivered them from Egypt, from captivity, and he has called them to be his own people by his covenant. He has provided for all their needs, yet time and time again, they find reason to complain. They find reason to grumble against God. Despite their faithlessness, God has proven himself faithful. Upholding his end of the deal out of his steadfast love and faithfulness to his promise. But here we find ourselves again, the people becoming impatient with the Lord and speaking against him and his servant Moses. Despite everything he has done for them, they grumble. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no food and no water. We loathe this worthless food. That wasn't really a critique on God's cooking skills. Each and every day, God provided them with manna from above that tasted as sweet as honey. And he had given them quail in the evenings. And he even quenched their thirst by making water come from a rock. It is not that God did not provide and provide abundantly for them. He provided so that not even a single person lacked. Instead, the Israelites despised the very gift and provision that God had given, even calling his provision worthless. They hated it. They were in open rebellion against God, and they were living in unbelief. If they were to continue to be God's people, they needed to be disciplined so that they would not be lost, so that they would remember their desperate condition and return to God. For God himself took from them nothing, from a barren womb, from slavery in Egypt, and he made them into a large and prosperous nation. Without him, they would not even be. So the Lord responds in a way that is striking and visual. It's easy to imagine and would strike fear even in our own hearts as we see a multitude of snakes closing in on us. And not only snakes, but deadly ones, whose bite is painful as if it was fire. It did not take long for Israel to recognize their sin and God's judgment. And so the people went to Moses, and they pleaded with him to intercede for them with God. And so Moses went and prayed to the Lord, and the Lord responds immediately. He does not wait to hear the people grovel a little longer. He does not require that they first make amends. He does not require them to level the score. He does not delight in their suffering. God immediately tells Moses to make a bronze serpent and lift it up on a pole so that all may see it, even from a distance away. In this way, the people of Israel would be delivered. When someone was bit by a serpent, if they trusted in the Lord, they would look up and gaze upon the bronze serpent lifted up, and they would find relief. They would be delivered from their suffering, and they would not die. It's a rather wonderful theology on display for all to see and comprehend. Israel reflects the total depravity of humanity as they grumble against the Lord and despise all that he has given. It shows God's goodness and grace as he is so kind and generous toward them. They were truly undeserving of every good gift that God had given, and they were extremely ungrateful for it. But he continued to give it to them anyway. And although in our sinfulness we might consider this punishment harsh, by faith we understand that God has revealed the seriousness of their sin, that he does not delight in their suffering, but he allows them to suffer that they might turn back to him and be delivered. Otherwise, they would stray from our only source of life and die not only physically, but suffer a fate far worse for all eternity. We also see in the wilderness the simplicity of faith. Faith is not something we do. It is not something to be measured. It does not come from a decision we make or a prayer we can pray. It does not come from our own sincerity or even our own work. Faith simply receives, and it responds to the promises of God. We do not gain more favor from God by being stronger in the faith, nor do we miss out on his promise if our faith is weak. Faith is simply receiving what God has already done, is continuing to do, and promises to do in the future. Faith trusts the Lord's provision, and it trusts only in him for our deliverance. The people of Israel had no part to play in delivering themselves. All they could do was recognize their sin and their desperate condition. It was God alone, through his servant Moses, who worked for their deliverance through the snake that was lifted up. This is why Christ points us back to that time in the wilderness. This is why Christ points back to that serpent lifted up on the pole. He does so to inform the faith. He does so to reveal what he himself has come to do. He does so that all who hear his words might believe. God gave the image of the serpents in the wilderness not only to discipline his people Israel, but so that we could understand what was happening on the cross. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whoever believes in him, that is, whoever trusts in the Lord's provision, whoever responds to him in faith by trusting in the Lord's promise, whoever believes in him may have eternal life. God does not desire our suffering. He does not desire to settle the score. But he does discipline so that we might recognize that we are nothing without him. He disciplines and allows suffering that we might turn from our sin and back to him so that we are delivered from a fate far worse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. As we see Jesus lifted up, we can see the serpent in the wilderness. Like Israel with the serpent, as we see Jesus hanging there, we see the very thing that was killing us. We see sin and death being placed on Christ, that in his death they are overcome. When we by faith acknowledge our sin, when we plead for mercy before God, he immediately delivers us from a fate far worse than Israel suffered. And so, as Israel, with their eyes fixed upon the serpent, we fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For in him and in him alone do we find all that we need and more to deliver us from our own desperate condition. Paul unpacks this truth in a most profound way, but that is for another sermon for another time. However, I do encourage you to go back later today and read Paul's words while envisioning both the serpent in the wilderness as well as Christ lifted up on the cross. For we were dead in our trespasses, but God, through Christ, has graciously saved us and lifted us up to be with him, so that he might show the immeasurable richness of his grace toward us in Christ Jesus our Lord. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not of your own doing, but a gift of God. So as we continue to trudge through Lent, let these traditions remind you of your place in the story of God's deliverance, that in your desperate need, in your desperate condition, God has placed before you Jesus. And through him, he has given you all that you need so that you will not perish, but have life everlasting. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.